Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome.
All of us. It's difficult, but it's simple. All things change. You need to rise to this moment. You can't turn away. Let's do what we know in our hearts. Let's come together to finish the job I'm facing. Do something. That was the plea of parents who lost their children in Uvalde. I met with every one of them. Do something about gun violence. Thank God. Thank God we did. Passing the most sweeping gun safety law in 3 decades. That includes things like the majority of responsible gun owners already support enhanced background checks for 18 to 21 years old. Red flag laws, keeping guns out of the hands of people who are dangerous to themselves and others. But we know our work is not done. Join us tonight, as Brandon said. 26-year-old hero. Brandon put his college dreams on hold to beat his mom's side. Mom's side when she was dying from cancer. Brandon. Brandon now works at the band studio started by his grandparents. 2 weeks ago, during the Lunar New Year celebration, heard the studio door close. He saw a man standing there pointing a semi-automatic pistol at him. Thought he was going to die. Thought about the people inside. And that instant, he found the courage to act, wrestle the semi-automatic pistol away from the gunner. He already killed 11 people in another dance studio. 11. He saved lives. It's time we do the same. Ban assault weapons now. Ban them now. Once and for all. I led the fight to do that in 1994. 10 years that ban was law and mass shootings went down. After let it expire in the Republican administration, mass shootings tripled. Let's finish the job. Ban these assault weapons. Also come together on immigration. Make it a bipartisan once again. We know now have a record number of people working to secure the border, arresting 8,000 human smugglers, seizing over 23,000 pounds of fentanyl just the last couple of months. We've launched our new border policy, lawful migration from Cuba, secure the border. And a pathway to citizenship for dreamers. Those on temporary status, farm workers, essential workers. Here in the people's house, it's our duty to protect all the people's rights and freedoms. Congress must restore the right. Congress must restore the right that was taken away, Roe v. Wade, and protect Roe v. Wade. happy moment of controversy. Vice President and I are doing everything. Check access to reproduction, health care, safeguard patient safety. But already more than a dozen states are enforcing extreme abortion bans. Make no mistake about it. Congress passes a national ban, I will veto it. But let's also pass the Bipartisan Equality Act to ensure LGBTQ Americans, especially transgender young people, can live with safety and dignity. Our strength! Our strength is not just the example of our power, but the power of our example. Let's remember the world's watching. I spoke to this chamber 1 year ago, just days after Vladimir Putin unleashed his brutal attack against Ukraine. Murderous assault, evoking images of death and destruction Europe suffered in World War II. Putin's invasion has been a test for the ages, test for America, test for the world. We stand for the most basic of principles. We stand for sovereignty. Stand for the right of people to live free of tyranny. We stand for the defense of democracy. For such defense matters to us if it keeps peace and prevents open season on would-be aggressors and threatens our prosperity. 1 year later, we know the answer. Yes, we would, and we did. We did. Together, the kid in America always does it our best. We led. We united NATO. We built a global coalition. We stood against Putin's aggression. We stood with the Ukrainian people tonight, once again joined by the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States. She represents not just our nation, but the courage of the people. Ambassador, our ambassador is here. United, we're in the United States, supporting your country. Stand so we can all take a look at you. Thank you. If we're going to stand with you as long as it takes. Our nation is working for more freedom, more dignity, more peace. Not just in Europe, but everywhere. Before I came to office, the story was about how the People's Republic of China was increasing its power and America was failing the world. We made clear, and I made clear in my personal conversation with President Xi, that we seek competition, not conflict. But I will make no apology that we're investing to make America stronger. Investing in American innovation and industry that will define the future that China intends to be dominating. Investing in our alliance, working with our allies to protect advanced technology so they will not be used against us. Modernizing our military to safeguard stability and determinants to deter aggression. Today, we're in the strongest position in decades to compete with China or anyone else in the world. Anyone else in the world. Not committed. Committed to work with China where we can advance American interests and benefit the world, but make no mistake about it. As we made clear last week, if China threatens our sovereignty, we will act to protect our country, and we did. Look, let's be clear. Winning the competition should unite all of us. We face serious challenges across the world. But in the past 2 years, democracies have become stronger, not weaker. Autocracies have grown weaker, not stronger. Name me a world leader who changed places with Xi Jinping. Name me one. Name me one. America's rallying the world to meet those challenges, from climate to global health, food insecurity to terrorism to territorial aggression. Allies are stepping up, spending more, and doing more. Look. Bridges were formed between partners in the Pacific and those in the Atlantic. Those who bet against America are running into the world as they are.
extract the vessels in mental health. We launched the Arthur H. Strand to break through the fights against cancer, Alzheimer's, and diabetes, and so much more. These robins are Pack Dogs, named after the late Iraq War veteran whose story about exposure to toxic bird poop I shared here last year. I understand something about those buildings, but there's so much more to do. We can do it together. Join us tonight as Father Man Dunn from London, New Hampshire. He wrote Jill, my wife, a letter, and me as well, about his crisis daughter, Courtney. Contagious laugh, his sister's best friend, her sister's best friend. I shared the story all together with millions of Americans, and many of you in the audience. Courtney discovered pills in high school. I spiraled into addiction and eventually death from a fentanyl overdose. She was just 20 years old. Describing the last 8 years without her, Doug said, there's no worse pain. But the family has turned pain to purpose, like an end of stubborn, which is lawless. He told us he wants to start a journey toward American recovery. Don't be lucky. Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. They're dying. So let's launch a major surge to stop fentanyl production and sale and trafficking. Ignore gun detection machines, inspection cargo, stop pills and powder at the border.
Courtney with couriers like FedEx. Inspect more packages for drugs. Strong fingers to tap down the fentanyl trafficking. Second, let's do more on mental health, especially for our children. When millions of young people are struggling with bullying, violence, trauma, we have greater access to mental health care at the schools. We must finally hold social media companies accountable for experimenting they're doing running children for profit. It's time to pass bipartisan legislation to stop big tech from collecting personal data on our kids and teenagers online. They need targeted advertising to children and impose stricter limits on the personal data that companies collect on all of us. Third, let's do more to keep this nation as one through a sacred obligation to put those descending in harm's way and care for them and their families alike and home. Job training, job placement for veterans and their spouses as they come to return to civilian life. Helping veterans afford the rent because no one should be homeless in America, especially someone who served the country.
Dr. Dennis McDonald's here, going. They had a first-class discussion asking to take the job. This is why they did it. Then they're losing up to 25 veterans a day on suicide. Now we're losing 17 a day to the silent scourge of suicide. 17 veterans a day are committing suicide. More than all the people being killed in the wars. Folks, the FDA has done everything it can, including expanding mental health spending, training programs that recruits veterans to help other veterans understand what they're going through, get the help they need. You got to do more. And fourth, last year, Jim and I were invited to Cancer Moonshot. I was able to start with President Obama asking to read the administration answers. We're going to cut the cancer defense. It is by 50% of its clinical events. Terminal cancers and death sentences to tragic diseases. More support for patients and their families. It's personal to so many of us in this audience. Joining us and Morris and Candice, an Irishman and a daughter that lives in Panama, I lived in some of the New York City and got married in the same chapel as Emily got married in New York City. Kindred spirits. If I was some later, my then daughter, Ava, and I saw her just before I came in. She was just a year old when she was diagnosed with rare kidney disease, cancer. After 26 foot transfusions, 11 rounds of radiation, 8 rounds of chemo, 1 kidney removed, with a 5% survival rate. I wrote her in the darkest moments and thought, if she goes, I can't stay. And it ended to that as well. So I understand that like so many of you. I read Jill's book describing our family's cancer journey and how they tried to spend moments of joy when they could before. For them, that kind of joy is the half smile of the baby girl. Not any of them. Another day of hope. We don't have another day of hope. She turns four next month.
I just found out Amy's beating the odds. Is on her way to be cured of cancer. And she's watching from the White House tonight and she's not asleep already. For the lives we can save. The lives we can save and the lives we've lost, let this be a truly American moment. It rallies the country and the world together and proves that we can still do big things. 20 years ago, under the leadership of President Bush and countless advocates and champions, they undertook a bipartisan effort through PEPFAR to transform the global fight against HIV/AIDS. It's been a huge success. We thought big. We thought large. We moved. I believe we can do the same thing with cancer. Let's end cancer as we know it. Cure some cancers once and for all.
Folks, there's one reason why we're able to do all these things. Our democracy itself. So it's one of the things of all. With democracy, everything's possible. Without it, nothing else. The last few years, our democracy has been threatened and attacked, put at risk, put to the test, was very real on January the 6th. And then just a few months ago, a lot of his big lie, a senior on the list of critical violence, one of the last speaker of the House of Representatives, was in the very same line as Vince Maxwell's things, if they start this out with the chair on January 6th. Here in this chamber is the man who bears the scars of that brutal attack. He was as tough and as strong and as resilient as they did. My friend Paul Pelosi, and Paul Stanley. We must all speak out. There's no place for political violence in America. We have to protect the right to vote, not suppress the fact fundamental right. Honor the results of our election, not subvert the will of people. We have to uphold the rule of law and restore trust in our institutions and democracy. We must give hate and extremism in any form no safe harbor.
Must not be a partisan issue. It's an American issue. Every generation of Americans has faced a moment where they have been called to protect our democracy, defend it, stand up for it. And this is our moment. Our fellow Americans, we meet tonight in a reflection point. One of those moments that only a few generations ever face. And the direction they now take is going to decide the course of this nation for decades to come. We're not bystanders of history. We're not powerless before the forces that confront us. It's within our power and we are the people. We're facing a test of our time. We have to be the nation we've always been in our best. Optimistic, hopeful, forward-looking. A nation that raises light over dark, hope over fear, unity over duty, stability over chaos. We have to see each other not as enemies, but as fellow Americans. We're good people. The only nation in the world built on an idea. The only one. Other nations are defined by geography, ethnicity. And we're the only nation based on an idea. That all of us, every one of us is created equal in the image of God. A nation that stands as a beacon of the world. A nation in a new age of possibilities. So I've come to fulfill my constitutional obligation to report the state of the union. And here's my report. Because the soul of this nation is strong. Because the backbone of this nation is strong. Because the people of this nation are strong. The state of the union is strong. I'm not near this place. I stand here tonight to be served as long as any one of you has ever served me. But I've never been more optimistic about our future, about the future of America. Just to remember, we're the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity if we do it together. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall
overcome. Dr. King said, we shall overcome. And I just believe that we will overcome what's going on. I heard about a shooting down in Monroe. I heard that man. I heard about it. I don't know about it, but I heard down on Winsboro Road, the boy got killed. They called me and told me about it. And I was just saying that we got to stop the killing and save the babies. We got to get ready to go to the next level. And I want to tell you tonight, as we cross over to our ancestors tonight, we're going to the next level. And that level is that we should understand that God has something special for us. And God going to carry us to the next level. And sometimes you have to listen to what the word say. And Ezekiel was in the valley of the dry bone. And God asked him one question. Give your bone live. I'm asking you tonight, how do we get at this point that we're hating each other? Well, we're not getting ourselves together. I'm going to give you a scripture tonight to read for to get into the word. And I'm going to call your number. I want you 54:85. I want you to read Psalms 92 and Psalms 52. And I want to tell you, young lady, I want 2021, I want you to read Psalm 23. As I get ready to go forward, we get ready to resurrect life. 54:85, Psalms 78, and Psalms 20. Sometimes you have to reach out for that seems like it's impossible. You know, I heard about, they were saying they fighting down and going on, and see what happened to Tyree in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm going to elaborate on that. In 1968, Dr. King came to Memphis. They didn't have black policemen then. Didn't have no black mayor. They had a white mayor, white chief of police. But because Dr. King came, and he did what he did. I heard the speech that Biden made. Well, I just want the Democrats and Republicans to stand up to the speech. Roshonda, give me a call after this show. I got a message for you. I want you to get ready for God to bless you to a new way. Gary Wayne, give me a call. I'm praying for you, Sherry up in Minnesota. I'm also praying for every letter, every telephone call. If you got a need, plant a seed in our ministry. We on 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on Sunday, 11 to 12. Don't forget, on Sunday, 11 to 12. But from Monday to Saturday, we on from 9 to 10. On Monday, Dr. King, we went tonight, crossing over to ancestors. I wanted to hear the union, the state of the union, and see what Biden was saying and see where we at. We want reparation. He didn't ask about no reparation. Give our word, our ancestors have left. Give it to us. That's what we wanted to say about that. And I think it's time for us to reach out and get what God got for us and the riches that God got for us. And we should also ask for to get reparation. God bless you tonight. I say our ancestors. I'm not talking about Black History. Every month is Black History Month. And every month should be history for all people. And we got to move the evil out the way and bring love in. If it's black love, white love, it got to be love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to believe that success is going to come to you. And I want to tell you, this is what I wanted to say to you. And you know who I'm talking about. Get them mothballs and put them mothballs in that house. You know who I'm talking to. And put them all in every room. And when you put the mothballs down, they run the rats and roaches out. Then it run the evil spirits out also.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones.
I want to ask this question before I go into the valley of the dry bones. I'm going to 35, 37, 11. Who got shot on Winsboro Road? I got your line open up. 37-11. Who got shot on Winsboro Road? I heard that somebody got shot on Winsboro Road this evening, but really got killed. I'm talking to 37-11. I know you know about it because you know everything that go on in the city. Okay?
Bishop.
You hear what I'm saying?
Bishop.
Yeah, who got shot down in Winnebago? Yeah.
I don't know. They say three people got shot. One died and the other two got wounded.
Were they gang fighting or what they was doing?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, I seen it on the news. The news come on the news of him. I know somebody know, but I just make sure you get the mothballs too and then call me in the morning. Okay, and listen to this song. Did I give you a scripture to read? I'm going to give you one. I don't know if I give you one to read. Read 71 and 71 number Psalms and 23. Okay? That'll work for you. But I want to go back to Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones. And what Ezekiel was saying, sometimes you got to let God resurrect you and things open up.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen. And her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel. That was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop him. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God. Say it with me, if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sense, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, thou art obstructing mountain, surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon, economic mountain, social and political mountain, religious mountain, encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. Surata, he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then he led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thought-doing survey, in a thought-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something. Then the Lord led him round and about for that, or took him and encompassed for that, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finiteness. Man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. No, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways from the sea. And you've made your own highway under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Spirit of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. But we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, well, he said to him, why, you go out to give you the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been to go on out and preach anyhow. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you, go on anyhow. Why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. And the Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometime for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones. To preach in that valley of helplessness, and in that valley of lifelessness, in that valley of hopelessness, my Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, well, God, he set his Babylon in motion. Yes, foot bone was stretching out, ankle bone, and ankle bone was moving on toward knee bone. Oh, yes, and knee bone was connecting with thigh bone, and thigh bone was moving on toward hip bone, and hip bone was moving to a backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joining the shoulder bone. And shoulder bone was tying the neck bone. And neck bone was tying the head bone. Oh, the prophet kept on preaching. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching. Oh, it's trouble. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to preach on a new theme. Yeah. I want you to just to wait a little while and let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me all of that matter to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those curtains. Oh, Lord. But Lord, all we have now are corpses here lying on the ground. Turn now and put you in. Tell the wind that God will believe in you. Lord, Lord. And blow breath into these bodies. My Lord. And that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is the hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right to go to the United Nations. It's all right to put on the international fellowship. It's all right to call on the scholars. To call on our businessmen. It's all right. But I tell you what you had better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. In word. In word. In word. In word. In the bridge in deep water. In word. In the lamp to your soul. Yes. In word. Ah, in word. Hear God. Hear God's word.
Now you vessel and let my soul
in divine order tonight, and we want you to know all is well. Whatever you need, God got what you need, and he got what you want, and all that you need, God gonna restore it to you. I just want y'all to know that whatever going on, God gonna restore it and give it back to you, you that need it. So whatever you need from God, God gonna fix it quick, fast, and in a hurry. So one of the things you got to know, what the president was doing tonight, that was good. But I want to tell you, unless they put God in the mix, it ain't gonna work. You got to have God in the mix of things. God got to be on top of all of it. That's the most important thing, for God to touch it and move it. We will overcome, but we got to stay focused. God to touch and open up doors to us. And I'm praying for you and you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call is an expression of love. We want to send love out. And I just feel whatever you're going through, you're going to overcome it.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more.
I used to think that I could not with nothing but a lawful soul. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must achieve. But first I know your thoughts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly. Cause I believe in you. Oh, if I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing.